Welcome to the Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show with Tony and Corey.
Built by Par Lumber. Go where the builders go.
When it comes to big or small projects around the home, Tony and Corey have the know-how and the answers to make your life just a bit easier. Here they are, the hosts of Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show, Tony and Corey.
Hey, welcome to the Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show, built by Par Lumber. I'm Corey Valdez.
And I am Tony Cookston.
Thanks for tuning in with us today. We've got a special show lined up for you. We're going to be talking about roofing today.
And why is roofing important?
Well, it rains a lot here in the Pacific Northwest, especially in the valley.
That's probably the number one reason.
Maybe not so much Eastern Oregon or Central Oregon, but it does rain a lot over here in the Portland metro area.
And we try not to live like those people on Survivor. We try to have a really good, you know, waterproof kind of a roof thing so that we're not constantly wet when it rains.
Yeah. If there's one thing on your house that takes the most beating, it's probably your roof.
Yeah, or your carpet, but your roof probably is.
Or in Tony's case, the bathroom. we'll be talking about roofing. We've got a special guest in the studio today with us. He is the owner of a fantastic Pacific Northwest company called Columbia Roofing and Sheet Metal. We've got Mark Carpenter with us. How you doing, Mark?
Well, very good. Happy to be here.
Good. Thanks for coming in. So, Tony...
Mark. Mark. So we were talking to Mark earlier, and you know, he asked the usual questions that guests that come on the radio with us ask, right? How close am I supposed to be to the microphone? Which way am I supposed to turn it? You know, very calm and very cool and collected. Corey and I, the first time we were on the radio, were basket cases, absolute basket cases.
What do you mean the first time?
Every time. But Mark, you are clearly calm, cool, and collected.
My palms are sweaty.
Don't be afraid of Corey's facial hair.
It's pretty easy.
That's the issue right there with the palms.
Here's something that's super funny to me, I think. Corey and I, when it comes to Par Lumber Company and what we do for a living, does not make us nervous at all. And it doesn't make us nervous because that's what we do every single day. If I were to say to you, hey, I really need you to tell me about roofing, right? That doesn't make you nervous at all.
No, it's what I do.
Right.
Exactly.
And so it's funny that some things, you know, some of the littlest things like, I don't know, getting up on a stage and saying, introducing the next person to come up or whatever, you'd be like, I got to go up in front of all these people. But, you know, we really just talk every day, so it's really not that difficult.
Okay, you're making me feel better.
Anyway, yeah, don't be nervous at all. This is just an opportunity for us to share really good information with the listeners out there that really need to know this stuff, you know, really need to know about, can you actually put metal roofing on a residential home? Obviously, you can put it on a barn, right? But can you put it on a home?
We've done quite a few residences, actually.
And then people think, well, yeah, but if I did that, it's going to be really loud.
Nope, they're quiet just like everything else.
So it's funny, you know, a lot of things get those sort of, what do you call those? Myths. And they just think, well, if I put metal roof on my house, it's going to be super loud. But you insulate it like you would insulate anything else, right?
It's not like a drum. You put it on a solid deck and it deadens the sound and you can insulate and you can do all kinds of things.
Yeah, it's not like a barn,
it's
right?
It's not a barn.
Then it can be really loud because there's not a lot of that structure up there underneath it.
That's correct.
I don't know if you remember, Tony, but I had metal roofing on my last house.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, my house on Devonshire.
Really?
Had metal. There were metal tin shingles.
Oh, yes.
It wasn't your typical standing seam or, you know, like a ribbed.
They're an interlocking
metal
shingle.
Yeah, it's an individual interlocking shingle. And I knew they were metal. Or we didn't know they were metal at first. I guess we found out after the inspection. And then when you look at them, they're clearly metal.
Mm, interesting.
And they were blue.
Did you like the look of that roof? Did you like the way it looked on the house?
I did. And from what I was told, and maybe Mark can help us with this, because that is the first and only time I've ever seen that product was on that house. And it actually was kind of loud when it rained. But I loved the sound.
Oh, interesting. You know? Yeah.
The standing seam roofs are very quiet. The interlocking metal shingles, They're very strong. They use a lot in South Florida because of the hurricanes. They stay on at 140 mile an hour winds.
Oh, that makes sense.
Very, very good.
They won't peel up. You know, and somebody had told me that I think my neighbor was talking to the roofing company when they were putting that roof on the house before we owned it.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that it was a lifetime. It would last forever. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
They do. They last a long time. I've had some other conversations about lifetimes, but yes.
It's interesting because one of the topics we're going to be talking to later today is about roofing warranties. And how much
speaking of myths.
Everything has a lifetime warranty, right?
Yeah.
You know, everything. It's kind of like when you buy a car and they have that bumper-in-bumper warranty.
Yeah. Well, it's funny about roofing because roofing...
You missed that joke.
Bumper to bumper warranty.
No, bumper and bumper.
Oh, bumper and bumper. I did miss that.
That's all you get.
It's funny about roofing because we used to distinguish the quality of roofing by its warranty. I think we used to say this is a 20-year roofing product, which had a 20-year warranty. Or it's a 40-year roofing product,
well,
which had a 40-year
warranty. Right.
Warranty.
It used to be that way. You would go buy roofing, I want a 20-year shingle or a 30-year. But that's not really...
There's some of that still goes on, and the warranty is directly proportioned to the quality. If you want something to get you by for 5 years until you move, you can get a 30-year warranty in that product. That's kind of the bottom end, all the way up to 50 years and lifetime warranties.
So is it true about roofing? Like, okay, so you go into a roofing place, right, and you can buy all these different kinds of architectural roofing. There's all this different stuff. Besides colors, there's different styles. Is it true that the quality of roofing just... is how heavy it is? Like, they just make it heavier and heavier and heavier, and the heavier it is, the better it is?
That's a lot of it, but it's the composition of the asphalt and the chemistry of that and the binders in the asphalt and the mats that they use and all that.
So there's a lot that goes into
it. There is a lot more. There's a lot more weight in it, and that gives it a lot of stability.
Yeah, I had heard from another roofing contractor who was advising me when I just replaced my roof, and I ended up going with I forget what the weight was, but it had to do with the weight per square.
Right.
And I don't know what a normal weight per square is, but it was on the high end of that. And it was something similar to a presidential shingles, what I put on my house.
Right.
And that's what I was told. It's more about the weight. So you're saying that not necessarily.
Well, he said it's a lot about the weight, but it's not all about the weight.
That's the biggest issue, is the weight. But, yeah, there's the chemistry, too.
The more material that's in there, technically, the longer it will last.
Well, I'm getting ready to replace my roof at home and, you know, and looking at making those consumer decisions also.
Yeah. I knew, and Tony, we talked about this last winter because my roof started leaking the minute I moved in. I think the moving truck rattled everything open. So, yeah, I mean, I went through it, and I made that decision when I had to do mine, and I went with the better shingles, you know?
So who wants to be the guy that is trying to sell roofing to a guy that owns a company called Columbia Roofing and Shingles? I don't want to be that guy. You got a lot of questions, probably. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, more with Mark and Columbia Roofing and Sheet Metal. You're listening to Tony and Corey, your Weekend Warriors. Stay tuned.
Listening to Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show with Tony and Corey, built by Par Lumber. Now, here's Tony and Corey.
Hey, welcome back to the Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show. Thanks for staying with us. If you're listening all over the Pacific Northwest to the Weekend Warriors Radio Network.
No, not all over. Not if you're listening all over, because people can only be listening from one place. If you're listening anywhere in the Pacific Northwest, would be what you meant to say, right?
Whatever.
Sorry, it's just funny. We should recognize some of our stations, probably.
We should.
In the Weekend Warrior Radio Network.
Well, you know, we just picked up Prineville. I love that side of the state. It is absolutely wonderful over there.
Yeah.
KRCO 96.9 FM. Thank you for tuning in. They are live right now.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And we have a couple big stations coming on board very soon.
That's right.
Here in a couple weeks. So we'll talk about those in a couple weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to be great. KVI in Seattle, of course.
Yeah, KASD Cast in Astoria, Warrington, 1370. Thanks for tuning in.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe KFLD up in the Tri-Cities.
Ah, yes.
870 AM. They play us a week late.
KACI.
Which, you know what, Tony? Hey, that actually river? Works out for you because you're always late.
Yes, that's right. I'm late to remember that I was supposed to be on time. KACI, is that in Hood River?
Hood River, the Dalles, yeah.
Hood River, the
KGY and Olympic. Thanks for tuning in.
Awesome.
We'll get to...
And if you haven't checked us out on Facebook, that's www.facebook.com/WW Home Show.
Yeah, WW Home Show.
Yeah, go check that
and
out.
And if you want, you can go to par.com and click on the Weekend Warriors link, and you can find our emails on there. We recently have been getting a lot of emails from our listeners about just questions, and we love them.
Some from places that you would not imagine.
I wanted to, now that you remind me, I had an email quite a few weeks ago now where a listener was angry. He was upset about our bug show.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
We had a exterminator on the show.
We actually...
Matt White.
Yep, that's right.
From the Killers.
Yep, that's right.
And he was not happy with how we referred to bees.
How to handle bees.
And just kill them because he is a beekeeper.
He's reminding us that there are a shortage of bees, and bees are required to keep everything in balance, right?
Well, it is a common belief that if all the bees die off, humans will be shortly lived after that because they pollinate everything.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
quite a few things.
So he wanted to make sure that people heard what needs to be said, right? There is a difference between bees
and wasps
and hornets. You've got those, you know, it's just like good people and bad people, right? You've got those people out there that we have to have doing things to help us move forward. And then you've got those bad people that are just causing problems. Well, the hornets and the wasps are the bad guys, right? And that's a different situation. While bees do have the ability to sting, we need them for more than that. So so it's important that that bees, while we consider bees, are not just exterminated or killed, but that proper care is taken to make sure that if they are indeed bees and not wasps or hornets, that they're instead replaced somewhere where they won't be harming someone or bothering someone.
Yeah.
So we really appreciate that feedback. Thank you so much for contacting us and talking to us about that. We appreciate
it. And if we have Matt White on the show again, I'm sure we will.
Yeah. We just didn't talk about that in enough depth to give him an opportunity to explain how he deals with that situation. So
yeah. And he's in the business.
Yeah.
The name of his business is The Killers.
Yeah, that's right.
So anyway, so let's talk back. We've got Mark sitting right in front of us.
Yeah.
We're talking about roofing. He owns this company called Columbia Roofing and Sheet Metal. You have an interesting story because you have a long history with Par Lumber.
We do. We still buy product from Par Lumber. We get into dry rot, and we buy a lot of wood. And it's always there. It's always good quality, and it's ready to go. But in the 1930s, I think Par Lumber started somewhere in there.
1930.
Yeah, 1930. That's right. Par Lumber celebrating 85 years this year. Yeah.
So my granddad and my dad, that family grew up on the Tootle River in Washington and had a shake mill in the 30s. And they made shakes and sold them to Par Lumber in the, I think, 1935, 36 era, somewhere in there.
That's a...
Wow.
That's a... Awesome.
That's just a long time ago. And anyways, it's really cool because, I mean, you are a local. You're a local, traditional local.
Yeah, fifth generation Oregonian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who started the business, the Columbia Roofing and Sheet Metal? Did you start that?
I started it. We've been in business 19 years, 20 years this July coming up. So
what are the main services that you guys provide?
Well, from the outside, you'd see us as a traditional roofing contractor. We specialize in commercial buildings with re-roofing needs. We have a big service department. We have a sheet metal department. We have 70 employees and three offices. Are headquartered in Tualatin. We have a Seattle office, and then we purchased Long Beach Roofing in Long Beach, California a year ago. Somebody I knew and folded them in. Do a lot of family-oriented things. We do backpacks for all our employees' kids before they go back to school.
Oh, that's cool.
Do that every August. It's a fun company. We, you know, I tell people I have to work there too, and I enjoy working around competent, good people, and they are. They're by and large family people that take a lot of pride in what they do. And just driving down the street, they'll say, "Hey, you know, we did." They'll tell their families, "I just finished that roof, and there's a high-rise building." And one in every 20 buildings, commercial buildings, get a new roof every year.
Yeah, that's a staggering number.
And there's
a
lot.
There is.
There's a lot of buildings.
Yeah.
That story really meshes well with Par Lumber. I mean, we're a family-owned business. We have been since 1930.
Yeah.
The family's still very well included in day-to-day business with Par. And I feel like I'm part of the Par family a lot of the times.
Yeah,
just being an employee.
And to speak to the point that you make, as employees of a company that's similar to the culture you were talking about, Corey and I drive around, and he'll say, "Hey, I supplied the material for that house."
Yeah.
"Hey, I helped that guy put that thing on that house right there. You see those six houses up in that subdivision right there? I sold that guy all that stuff." And he takes pride in that. He takes pride in that, what he offered to change the landscape of our territory right here. You know, Corey loves that he's involved in things that are being built and building things up.
It's an industry, the construction industry and roofing in particular, is not on anybody's career path usually. I mean, I got a degree in marketing from Portland State, and I didn't want to become a roofing contractor.
Yeah.
It's not on anybody's list, but you go to conventions and you say, "Well, how'd you get here?" And everybody has a story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, it is very funny. But you're right. You know, the employees for Par Lumber Company, which sound very much like employees of your company, take a lot of pride in their work. And it's you can see that in the quality of their work.
The culture is so important. Everybody has a culture. Every organization, and what the culture says about your core values attracts the same customers, attracts the same employees, and you know, there's certain customers we don't do business with just because of that.
Yeah, we have the same values. Par Lumber is a company. I mean, we're right in there, so we definitely know where you're coming from. I think our listeners, a lot of our listeners, are homeowners, probably a lot of business owners. What would you say to somebody out there that doesn't necessarily know much about roofing? That you own a commercial building.
So you're a business owner, they own a commercial building, they don't know anything about their roof. When we come back, we'll talk about what steps they can take to make sure that their roof is in good condition and then they're not waiting too long.
Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Tony and Corey, your Weekend Warriors.
That's what I was going to say.
Listening to Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show with Tony and Corey, built by Par Lumber. Now, here's Tony and Corey.
Hey, welcome back to the Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show. Thanks for staying with us. Just want to give a quick shout out to Leslie and Sandy. Thanks for listening.
So before we went to the break, we were talking about business owners or commercial building owners, right, that are responsible for maintaining the quality of their building. How often would you suggest that someone have the roof of their commercial building checked? Do you think they just need to check it one time, and then if it's good, they're good to go for another 30 or 50?
Most people worry about their business, and they never look at the building unless it's leaking on someone's desk. or that $1 million piece of equipment out in your shop or whatever. recommended National Roofing Contractors Association twice a year by a competent person. We do that. We have about 150 buildings in Portland that we do that. We do minor repairs and upgrades, and we have a roof that's 38 years old, should have been replaced 20 years ago, and it's still going strong. We've maintained it for close to 20 years now. And
wow.
And that's saved the owner a lot of money.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. That's, that's thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars.
It depends on where your building is. I've seen leaves accumulate on a building with no trees within 5 miles. And we have a lot of buildings that have trees right next to them, and the leaves fall off and plug the drains, and all kinds of bad things happen there.
Yeah.
So what I was talking about before, and Tony got my question out for me. What would you say? I guess what would be the first thing that comes to mind for you when you're talking with a business owner like that who has no idea? You know, somebody calls me and says, "Hey, boss, water's dripping on my computer
yeah, or on my head."
What are things that these people need to be thinking about on a regular basis?
Well, the big thing is in terms of the roof itself, making sure that the drains are cleared out. Make sure they're clean and working. You have a big snowstorm in Portland area. We usually have a big rainstorm afterwards, and all that slush goes to the drain and plugs it up, and there's one or two roofs that collapse every time. But there's a lot of things that leak on the roof that are not the roof, the heating and air conditioning equipment. There's gas lines. There's all kinds of pipes up there. There's people put solar on them, antennas, and skylights last 10 to 15 years. You may have a good roof, but the skylight leaks and it manifests itself as a leak in the roof. Mm-hmm. So you need somebody that knows what they're doing. And they're, you know, most commercial contractors, most of us are pretty good at doing that. I think we do a really good job, but there's some other people too. It's just not us. I'd like to say it's just us, but it really isn't.
Yes, solar panels, I would think, add a lot of weight to a roof. Are they pretty heavy?
They add a little bit, but they're usually tied in structurally to where the grids are of the structure below, and they've pretty well been engineered. They're a whole lot easier to take care of the roof membrane itself than say a green roof or something along that line.
Yeah, I mean they fasten those through the roofing, right?
They do.
So there's definitely it's roofed around those fasteners. Those don't tend to be a problem?
No, they usually have a pipe-based stanchion that supports them, and we wrap those pipes with a factory-made pipe boot and weld it all in. It's not going to leak.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. This is totally off, you know, what we've been talking about, but it's just popped in my head. We stock at Par Lumber Company a pipe jack, okay?
Right.
So you've got a standard pipe, a vent pipe that's coming out of the bathroom on any house or whatever. And this jack is on a slope, right? And it's galvanized, and it's got a neoprene or rubber, whatever, gasket around it, right? You've seen this 1,000 times, of course.
I have some.
So, okay, you have some. I continue to have people come in and ask me, I don't want to replace the flashing piece. I just want to replace the boot. Is that something?
No. Yeah.
Because
if the neoprene, they're not very good to start with. But if the neoprene is worn out, probably the metal flashing with it is also. And unfortunately, those things are like a 20-year product. And if you put a 50-year roof or a 50-year lifetime or a lifetime roof on, put some lead collars on there. Pipe protection.
Okay, that's a great advice. Lead is something that's generally reserved in the residential market, generally reserved for something that's hot. Right, like some type of a stove pipe or something.
But the lead jacks, they'll last for many, many years.
A lot longer than that neoprene.
Yeah, and you ask about lifetime warranty roofs. I saw one in the UK on a castle some years ago that was quarter-inch thick lead standing seam roof. It was 400 years old. Nothing grows on it, and it works.
Wow.
You don't want to drink the water off of it, but there's nothing that grows on the ground around it.
That's interesting.
But you can make a lifetime roof.
That's very interesting. Or several lifetime roofs,
yeah,
as it were. Yeah, the reason why I'm bringing that, because I have generally have even had some contractors and a lot of homeowners who have come in and saying, hey, I don't want to replace that piece of flash, I just want to replace the neoprene. Well, here's the neoprene or rubber, whatever you want to call it, it's integral.
It's integrated in there.
With that flashing. And so you can't just slide that down and then squirt a bead of caulk around it and expect that to keep water out of that spot.
If you're within a year or two of replacing your roof, what we do is take a really high-quality caulking and caulk the pee out of it.
Yeah, just, okay, that makes sense.
It'll get you by.
If you know you've got something coming up. It's certainly not a permanent fix.
But it'll get you by.
That's interesting. I actually didn't know that there were different roof jacks.
Oh, yeah.
I put a nice, long, extended life roof on my roof, and I used the old crappy ones.
Yeah, they do make those. Generally, I mean, you would see, like, if somebody was installing some sort of an appliance that was going to be venting hot, right? Venting
a furnace flue or something.
A furnace flue, right. Yeah. They will use a lead flashing around that because it won't be affected by the heat. And that's the way that I've seen them used traditionally, but I do know they make them for whatever
bathroom vents and stuff for the plumbing and stuff.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So, okay, let's talk a little bit about composition roof.
Okay.
I know that you said that you're about to maybe replace the composition roof on your house.
That's right.
And so, if not as a professional, as a homeowner, we can just have a conversation a little bit about composition roofing. Corey and I were just talking to one of our buddies who's currently buying a house, and he had his home inspected, and the inspector walked around on the roof, and he took several pictures of different areas where the granules are gone.
Yeah.
I mean, there's granules in most places, but in the valleys and in a few other places, the granules are gone. What's that telling you as a homeowner when you're missing the granules off of your composition roofing?
It's time for a new roof. Usually they'll erode off the edges at the bottom of the shingle, but in areas where they're gone, they're there for two things. One is the fire protection. You've got an asphalt product, and it will burn, and the granules are there to prevent that. Some of the products have algae block in them now. Some of those granules are actually copper or copper-coated ceramic. And the final thing is it protects the shingle from the ultraviolet light. And when they're gone, your shingle's gone.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, so we were kind of talking to him about what we were seeing in there, and he had some other things that the inspector brought up that were a little higher on his priority list. But I think Corey and I commented to him, you need to make sure you pay attention to that roofing. That's something that's going to have to be addressed pretty quickly, I think.
Yeah, they're all the roofing flashings. He had pictures of all the flashings, and they looked worn out to me. And I'm not a professional.
There's your indication. Yeah. Another one. There's your sign.
So what about, we were talking during the break a little bit about structural upgrades and seismic upgrades. What sort of things do you run into in an area like in the Pacific Northwest, like Portland and Seattle, that really is becoming aware of the earthquake threat?
Well, the city of Portland has a list of unreinforced masonry structures throughout the city. And some of the other cities are not quite as active, but when you replace the roof and you tear off the old roof, the Uniform Building Code makes you upgrade the roof structure to certain earthquake standards. And it involves tearing the roof off, having a structural engineer look at everything and do an assessment, calculations, design. And we end up putting a plywood deck down that's nailed in very specific patterns and inspected by an independent inspection company. And then there's steel that goes around it. And we drill into the masonry, put usually the brand Hilti is what we use a lot of, but epoxy and everything else, and cover it all up.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah,
it is.
I would say so. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk with Mark some more about roofing solutions and that sort of stuff. You're listening to Tony and Corey, your Weekend Warriors. Hang in there.
You're listening to Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show with Tony and Corey. Built by Par Lumber. Now, here's Tony and Corey.
Hey, welcome back to the Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show. We've got a special guest in the studio today from Columbia Roofing and Sheet Metal. We're talking with Mark. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about structural upgrades. In the commercial world, I think, well, in the past several years, that not many builders were aware of the threat of an earthquake.
Right.
And we just had a show recently. We were talking about the Cascadia subduction zone. You know, that article came out in the New Yorker that kind of went viral. And I think everybody and their brother read it in the Pacific Northwest, because it got us all thinking about it. You know, it's some people are doomsdayers, and they're going to prepare to the, you know, to be underwater for 20 years. You know, but
I think that's going to take some preparation, huh?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Underwater for 20 years?
I don't have much of anything planned, and that's probably shame on me.
Yeah.
But,
but here's the thing about you and I, Corey. We're relationship builders. We build relationships.
Yeah,
We meet Mark, and we win him over, and we're in his heart now. And then later, when the world's coming to an end, Mark will call us on the phone and say, "Hey, guys, I saved a couple spots in my whatever you call those things.
I've got a great roof on my bomb shelter. Come join me."
That's right.
I'll say, "Well, would you mind cutting your supply down to 10 years?
Yeah, yeah. There's two types of people out there, Corey. There's the types of people who prepare for their future, and there's the types of people who develop great relationships.
Those are called moochers.
Yeah, we develop great relationships. It's what we do.
I plan on mooching supplies. Come on, man. You got two peanut butter sandwiches.
I've got a 2x4 to trade you.
Yeah, there you go. So, over the past few years, at least since I've been in the construction industry, I've seen the level of structural and seismic upgrades going into new construction shoot through the roof. You know, the amount of Simpson Strong Tie is a very large manufacturer of metal hangers and different things. And 10, 12 years ago, we would see maybe, I don't know, $500 in hardware in a house. And that has gone to
thousands.
Yeah, 3,000, 4,000 in just metal hardware going in. We see it in the roofs now. And I didn't really know this at first, but after sitting through some classes with Simpson Strong Tie and learning about these applications and why they do certain things, it's not necessarily to earthquake-proof your house in that it won't get damaged. It's just so that it won't collapse on you.
Yeah, right.
And that's kind of probably the same things that you guys are doing in the, because you know, in the commercial world.
There is a lot of new construction processes. I was in the steel business 30 years ago when I first got out of college, and we had moment frames and in the structural steel welded up, and that is coming into the residential market. That kind of design. Portland and I think New York City has two awards for high-rise buildings that are made out of wood that are just coming up out of the Pearl District. It was yesterday's business journal.
Brand spanking new, yeah. Portland's going to get the first one.
Are they?
It's with these, what do they call that? It's engineered wood, but they call it lateral.
But they tie everything together with moment frames using wood instead of steel.
Yeah.
And that an elevator shaft out of concrete instead of wood and all that. But the older buildings have none of that and no reinforcing in the walls. We did one 10 or 12 years ago, and when we tore the roof off, the wall was close to 2 feet thick in brick, maybe 100-year-old. Looks solid, right? Somebody leaned against it, almost fell over, two stories in the air onto a sidewalk. It was that poor of condition. And once it was done, it was fabulous, but you just don't know.
These are the sorts of things that if you're a business owner and you're getting your roof done, these are the things you need to know about.
Most of those buildings are 80 to 100 years old, so there's not a lot of them around. Some of them probably the end of the 40s, 1940s, but that's about it.
What What do you see the most in when somebody, you have an emergency call? Somebody, you know, 2 a.m, you know, I know you guys do emergency calls like
that.
We do. What's the number one thing you see?
I would guess a plugged drain. A lot of the older built-up roofs are really not sealed at the top of the membrane. The newer single-ply roofs that we put on are all sealed to the building. But you plug a drain up, and the old built-up roofing was supposed to go up 8 inches. We can get 10 inches of water in the roof. Well, at 8 1/4 inches, it starts to leak, and it comes in walls and every place. Around heating and air conditioning units, when it backs up, it's from a plugged drain.
So that really...
it's maintenance.
Yeah, that really points out the reason that you need to have your roof looked at on a regular basis. And that's one of the services you guys provide, right? You do.
We do.
You have maintenance contracts that you go out and you keep.
We have 24-hour service around 7 days a week throughout Oregon, Washington, North Idaho, Southern California. Yeah.
I tell you. It's a lot of information that goes into how to take care of something as important as the roof, I feel like. I think a lot of people shy away from it and the regular maintenance that's required in order to keep it performing the way that it's supposed. This says a lot to what you said earlier. A 38-year roof, you guys have been maintaining it for 19 years, still doesn't need to be replaced. Should have been replaced.
I'd love to replace it, but it still works.
But it's still working good. maintenance is the biggest downfall of... homeowners today. A lack of maintenance is homeowners' biggest downfall. The more maintenance you do, the less, this is the hardest thing to remember or to wrap your head around. The more maintenance you do, the less money you will spend.
That's correct.
Because the maintenance money that you spend is so much less than the big dollars you spend to do the big projects. And if we could just convince ourselves that the maintenance has got to get done and we'll get out there and do it. If we can get into condition ourselves to do that, we're just talking about taking the leaves out of the gutter. Just go up there and clean your gutters, folks. That's what you do. If you go up and clean your gutters, it won't go down your downspouts. It won't get clogged down there. Water won't back up and fill up your gutters, and then all your gutters fall off of your house. Now you're replacing your gutters. Why do you not have to do that? Because you took all the leaves out.
That reminds me, I have to do that. I haven't done it this year. Shoot, now what?
Yeah, Corey, you know, this time of year, Corey and I talk about this stuff. You need to get up on the roof. You need to inspect it. You need to make sure that it's not missing granules from a large portion of the roof, right? I mean, we're not talking about one shingle that's got a little quarter-sized spot where it's missing granules.
Right.
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about large wear patterns where the granules are disappearing. What's another example?
Another example is... we call it spider webbing, and you can't see it very well, but if you have shingles that have these really, really tiny cracks on it, it's an indication it's going bad.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with, if it's a 10-year-old roof doing that, there was something wrong with the chemistry of the roof, and probably have some warranty issues that you can collect on.
And that happens, right?
I mean, it does.
If we think about roofing, that's one of the, that's a very widely manufactured and a very consistent recipe, probably. For, you know, it's like, it's not something that they're still saying, gosh, have we got that right yet?
You're right. But every so often, there's a bad batch.
Right. I think that because it's real, you know, one of those things that we just don't address very often, we think to ourselves, it's just roofing, it's going to be fine. But you can get some bad batches in there.
You can.
You have seen it. There's one other thing that I want to talk about it in the commercial world. And that's living roofs.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely going to cover that when we come back. Some more things to look at this time of year to make sure your roof's in good shape with Mark and his company, Columbia Roofing and Sheet Metal. You're listening to Tony and Corey, your Weekend Warriors. Stay tuned.